far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we travel through the galaxy and beyond with Space Adventure Cobra, the movie.
Now we're recording.
Alright. Now yeah. We're doing the real recording.
Uh-huh.
At this moment.
Yep.
At right now.
This moment in time.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
I'll do introductions per usual. Alright, welcome to Anime of Yesteryear podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Dustin, and with me is John.
Yep.
And we finally got to talk about something we've been wanting to review for a while now, and that is the Space Adventure Cobra movie, directed by Osamu Dezaki.
That's and, right. We've been talking about this for, I don't know when you first brought up Cobra, but I have a feeling it was when we were the Cool Kids Club podcast.
I'm pretty sure, because I feel like it's not like it's one of those things that I brought up a few months ago. It's something I've brought up like in passing several times on other episodes, like, yeah, Cobra, we gotta watch that.
Right.
And then when I bought the TV series from Right Stuff, I think it's been like 2 years now. I think it has been. Then, I was just like, you gotta check out this show. Like, I really, really want to review Cobra, the TV series. Like, this is awesome. But I've had the DVD, like, I got the, I wound up streaming the Discotech Media release of the movie on DVD over our Twitch channel, so you got, and but you have it on VHS, which is obviously the streamlined pictures version,
right? It's a I think it's Urban Vision, isn't it? It's a subtitled version that was I got it at the Arizona Collector's Marketplace in downtown Phoenix, where they have lots of great Japanese merchandise, and they had like a whole wall of cheap DVDs, but then they have like a single VHS in there, and I saw it and I was like, oh, this is Cobra, which I've been told about for quite a while, that it's great, and it's like I think this was when Space Dandy was on TV, and that I got it, and, okay. And you were like saying, oh, Space Dandy, this is like Cobra or something. I was like, okay, well, that makes Cobra seem pretty good too, you know. So anyway, I ended up buying it, and the guy I bought it from was like, oh, this is the most random item I have in this whole store, which there's like thousands of items in there. But, yeah, so I bought that. Now my audio is going lower, but I bought that, and then a few months ago I watched it for the first time on VHS, and it's got like a bunch of previews for other old Urban Vision titles.
Such as, do you remember?
I'm going to pull up AIM, because when I was watching it, I'm pretty sure I was commenting on AIM. I think this was before we switched to Slack. If we switched to Slack, I probably won't be able to get to it, because the logs don't go back that far. But
yeah. All right, did it have anything to do with, like, Vampire Hunter D, or Goku Midnight Eye, or Wicked City?
It could be, but I have to look. I think there was one for the Final Fantasy OVA.
Oh, Legends of the Crystals, I've got that.
Yeah.
Which means, like, the audio is going to be affected on my end, so I have to just adjust levels and boost everything.
Yeah. I'll try to find it, but I guess what I should do is just search Urban Vision in the logs.
I mean, chances are, like, the three titles I stated are the ones that Urban Vision licensed. They've licensed other stuff. I just can't think of the rest of it right now.
Well, I think they have Devilman as well, OVAs.
I know there's L.A. Heroes released it.
Oh.
But if you've ever seen it on, like, manga or manga VHS tapes, that's like when Manga Entertainment bought L.A. Hero out in the 90s.
Okay, maybe I was wrong then. What else did they have? Maybe Goku Midnight was on there, I'm not positive. But...
Oh, like, it's not if you happen to find the log, I mean, I'm just curious to know, like, if you said anything about the previews on it, but...
Yeah.
Like, it's not a huge, like, ordeal if you, like, for you to find it right now.
I'll be able to find it. It's just, I have so many logs and it takes a few seconds to open up and load them all.
Oh. Okay.
But, I guess we could talk about, the ones that were on the Discotheque DVD while we wait. The previews.
Oh. Yeah, that's the ones that Discotheque has put out. I just kind of put that on there to kill time till you were ready.
Yeah.
With Streamline Go-Go 13. I don't even remember where it came after that. Fist of the North Star, the Japanese trailer for Fist of the North Star. And now I really don't remember what came after that. There was like two or three more, I thought. Oh, a Lupin the Third. It was like it didn't really say what Lupin the Third it was. It was just like I'm not sure what Lupin the Third ad was that.
They have a lot of Lupin stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the first TV series. I didn't actually see the ads because I hadn't got it set up yet.
I guess whatever they licensed at the time they put that DVD out would have been it. But they've licensed a ton of Lupin since then.
So when did they put out this?
I don't know. Let's check Disco. I'm going to check Discotheque's media websites. Hang on. Discotheque. See, we're supposed to be completely, like, prepared for all this stuff.
Okay, here we go. I found the log. December 4th is when I watched it.
Okay.
Here's what I said on the chat at the time. Watching Space Adventure Cobra, the movie, the Urban Vision VHS, it starts with an image of their other tapes, Final Fantasy OVA ad, some techno music is playing, Twilight of the Dark Master, Biohunter, Gatchaman OVA, Psycho okay. Diver, Dragon Slayer with metal music playing, 6 minutes of retro anime trailers. Okay, that's what I said in the chat at the time. And then Mason asks in the chat, Space Adventure Cobra, does it have G.I. Joe in it?
What the fuck? Oh my god.
He thought I was talking about Cobra Commander.
Oh. Anyways, this is Mason. I'm not going to try to, like, pick that. Okay.
And then I also said in the chat, these subs aren't so good. They forget to capitalize Cobra a lot. I remember that now. And they missed a couple of lines entirely 20 minutes in. I think they did different subs for this, like Discotheque translated it themselves, right?
Yeah, they usually get like Neil Nadelman or something they translated. Okay, so I've got the release date was August 21st, 2012. And I bought this sometime after that.
Okay.
Also, looking at the Discotheque store, January 26th is the release date for Giant Gorg for $35 for an entire show.
Oh, how many episodes is it?
It's 26 episodes, because that was the one that I, like, watched fan-subbed, and then Anime World Order put out a review of it, and then it was just Gerald like, oh, this show is a great, rah! And then that's when I questioned him on our Ghost in the Show review, and he was like, I stand by it, and I'm like, whatever, Gerald, you don't know Nothing.
I remember that. He said the cliffhangers weren't as good after the first couple or something like that.
It always had cliffhangers, but, like, I thought the story was pretty good. But you know what? We need a... I want to buy this, like, once I get my tax money in, for sure. That's the first thing I want to buy is Giant Gorg. Because I've got a Giant Gorg poster. I'm already, like, more fan than most people, I guess, because I happened to find it. Wicked City comes out that day, too. And speaking of, I actually went ahead and sold my Urban Vision Wicked City DVD. I was just like, I don't really want this in my house anymore.
Did you see the picture on Twitter of the Wicked City creator drew lunch from Dragon Ball for some, like, tribute book? And he had, like...
I saw some of those images, yeah.
He had he drew, like, two versions of her back-to-back, the blue-haired version.
Take 200.
Hopefully that'll be the only audio error of the night.
Sometimes we do pretty good without him, and sometimes it's like a consistent every 5 minutes, and you're just like, yeah, piece of crap. Yeah. Why? Why are you doing this to me?
So we did this, I guess, because soon we'll have the... well, I guess you already have it, but soon I'll have the DVD of Cobra.
Yeah, so I know that in our Star Wars episode, I mentioned about how... my Drunken Right Stuff podcast stunt, quote unquote. It was aka poor choices. It led to something cool. And this guy from named Thane from Right Stuff has been emailing me back and forth. And so he's going to, well, in the email, he said he was basically going to send us stuff to review for our podcast to work for Right Stuff. So aka we are selling out, guys. It's taken 3 years for us to finally get to that point. I guess we've made it. I don't know.
Didn't we sell out when we did that card game review?
Yeah. But this is anime. Card games don't count.
Yeah.
I still get... I like the way it works with Superfight is the fact it's like, hey, guy. Like, hey, man, what's up? I can't think of his name right now because I don't want to look at the email. But I'm like, hey, Superfight guy, I'm going to a con. I need some stuff. How soon can he get it to me? And he's just like, oh, awesome. Here, we'll send you a box in about a week. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then about a week later, or maybe even less than that, I get a box of like 4 or 5 starters and a bunch of anime decks. So I gave those out at BonsaiCon. And if I get a panel approved for Animazement and Anime Week in Atlanta, I'll just do the same thing there. I just got to figure out some trivia thing or reason why I should give it out to people. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
So there's cool stuff like that, but with Right Stuff, so far he said, Thane said he set us up with the Mobile Suit Gundam TV series. I think it's on Blu-ray is what he's sending us.
Haven't you somehow never seen that? The whole thing?
I haven't finished the TV series.
That's amazing.
I started it on the fan subs I have on my computer like a year or so ago, and then I just stopped for some reason.
Yeah, and you gotta finish that.
Yeah, I know.
This doesn't have the lost episode, does it?
It does have. It's not gonna have the lost episode.
Damn it, Tamino. It's
the freaking how Bandai does it, where they like don't want the Kuzan Island arc or whatever. It's just one episode where like he just happens to hate that episode.
It's funny because like I know people think it's because the animation is especially poor in that.
Well, I mean, it is, but...
Yeah, but the whole show has poor animation. And besides, the, like, modern... Even modern anime get released just, like, shamelessly with unfinished animation, like Sailor Moon Crystal and Dragon Ball Super. So it's not like it would be some unprecedented thing for them to release an anime episode with bad animation. I mean, it's just silly to not release that.
Like, I don't know. I mean, even the worst episode of Gundam looks better than, like, most episodes of Super Robot shows before that. Well, let's just get real.
I mean, I guess it's better than other stuff from the time, but there are a lot of animation errors in it.
We got, like, Robotech and Macross, and that was, like, the episodes where the animation looked terrible with, like, the Zentradi chick. Like, that's always been, like, the needle or, like, the poke fun of thing at Macross. It's, like, when some Taiwanese animation studio took over a couple episodes and they got, like, the worst crap ever. And they're like, well, we got to put it on TV. And then they still released it in, like, the series and everything. So it's just part of the charm.
Yeah, I mean, you should expect this if you're watching anime, that there will be sometimes bad animation. This just comes with the territory.
That's true.
But this had this movie that we're about to talk about, the Cobra movie. I thought the animation was pretty great on it.
Oh, yeah. One thing I noticed about the Cobra movie is that it never stopped moving. It never paused. Something happened all the time. It was like it's like the animated version of the Mad Max Fury Road. Because in Mad Max Fury Road, like, there's something happening all the time. And that's exactly what happens in Cobra. The plot progression continues when something is happening. There's dialogue going on the ice planet with the snow gorillas, where Dominique is telling Cobra everything about her homeworld as they're invading the guild, the pirate guild, and Crystal Boy. There's all this exposition going on just to let the reader know, like, this backstory of, like, why the sisters have to fall in love with Cobra and everything. Like, they explain all that, like, as he's trying to avoid them, climbing on ice cliffs and everything. Like, stuff happens in this movie, and, like, for about an hour and 40 minutes, like, it's a great, fantastic movie.
Yeah, it's a very fluid animation. A lot of things happen in it. Not a boring movie at all.
Yeah, visually, there's a lot of interesting visuals in this movie. Like, just crazy, creative stuff. Because that's Osamu Dezaki's charm. It's just him, like, doing whatever he wants. And, of course, Cobra defying the laws of physics at every turn. When he goes to fight people, he just kind of sort of glides, and he's, like, just kind of defies gravity when he, like, is supposed to jump, but it's more like the zero-G backflip when there's clearly gravity when he's fighting a robot. Like, you're just like, how does this work? But and then at the same time, you're like, dude, I just don't care. This is fun. That's exactly what Cobra is.
It doesn't need to be realistic to be entertaining.
No, it doesn't. Not for Cobra. I guess we can do a little bit of scene by scene, because, like, it goes, like, at the beginning of the movie, it goes straight to this fat guy that's hunted by a woman, which you find out is Jane. They call her Jane Flower in this, but in the TV anime series, they're the Royals instead of the Flowers. So it's Jane Flower, Dominique Flower, and Catherine Flower.
Oh, so these characters are in the show too.
The what?
These characters are in the TV show as well.
Yes.
Okay.
But there's like the movie is it kind of sort of adapts the first half of these three girls. Like, there's a story arc in the first half of the series that kind of revolves around them and Crystal Boy. And I'm not going to say too much on Crystal Boy or anything, but that's all happens. Like, what you see now is in the first part of the TV series.
Okay.
But everything in this movie is sort of, like, redone. It's not like it's an adaptation of the first arc of the story. This is a completely original story, but it's taking in characters and sort of the plot from the TV series and doing its own thing in this film. Well, so, like, in the TV series, they're the Royal Sisters, but in this, they're the Flowers.
I think that on Wikipedia it said that this came out before the TV series did. Because this is from July 1982, July 23rd, and the show started on October 7, 1982, and ran till May with 31 episodes, till May 19th of the next year. And then there's, like, several OVAs that came later on.
Snap, you're right.
So this is kind of like a pilot kind of film for the show, like, to see if people wanted to see Cobra animated, I guess. Because it had previously just been a manga.
That is true, yeah. I'm glad something like this was made. Yeah, like, the TV series is... I mean, I don't know too much about, like, the manga itself, but that TV show is just... Every episode I was finding myself saying, this is the greatest show ever made.
Supposedly,
and it just gets funnier and funnier and stupider and crazier, and it's just great. What were you saying?
Viz put out part of the manga, so I think that'd be something interesting to track down at some point if I could find it.
I know I've got a couple of issues of the Viz, like, comic book form manga of that. I have, like, I think the first couple of issues. I know I do.
Yeah, I don't think they adapted the whole thing, because it says it's, like, 18 volumes, and I doubt they put out that much.
No, they're not going to adapt the whole thing, because when has Viz ever adapted an entire manga series?
Only the really popular ones, like Naruto or Dragon Ball.
Yeah, like, we put out the first two issues of Pat Labor, I mean, doesn't that count? No, not really.
Yeah.
Palera manga is actually pretty good. I got the second one I gotta read. Anyways, yeah, this is wildly different from the TV series. And it, of course, with this one, Jane is a bounty hunter. I just want to call her Jane Royal because that's how they are in the TV series. Okay. And she captures some warlock or something, his head, and then his mouth is still moving. And then Cobra meets her at a bar, and Cobra in the movie and in the TV series, he's still the same, which is why I made that comparison to Space Dandy, because they're just
womanizers.
Womanizing heroes or anti-heroes in space.
And the hair is kind of similar too, but with different colors.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cobra never had a pompadour to my recollection.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's not as well formed or whatever as Dandy's.
Yeah. Well, interesting enough about Cobra is the fact that, okay, so when you, the DVD series that Wright Stuff put out, they did make an English pilot episode of that, and that might have been Harmony Gold trying to sell it or something. I can't remember.
There's a Harmony Gold dub of the first episode.
It's on par. It probably is.
It's really bad, or what? The acting?
I liked it, actually.
Oh, really?
I mean, I liked it as much as I can like a Robotech dub.
Yeah, interesting.
What's interesting about the television plot on that, and it's only in the first DVD set, because there's not really extras in the other ones, is that what they did is for that pilot, I think just to try to sell the show, was they kind of take the first episode, and then Cobra is instead of the story really happening to how Cobra finds his identity and everything, which is kind of Total Recall, the plot to it. It kind of I didn't realize this until I finally got to the episode in my sets, is that the pilot combines two episodes into one. So Cobra's on a mission to take down some gold or something from a pirate from the pirate guild or whatever, but the episode they chose for that is in a casino, a space casino, and that's in the later half of the series so it's kind of weird that they made a pilot by taking an episode from the latter half of the series and blended it into the first episode and then dubbed it. But I think that was probably a way for them just to try to sell the show.
Yeah.
But it's actually still – it kind of flows together.
Well, they did all sorts of weird stuff. I think they did a five-episode pilot of Dragon Ball where they cut a bunch of random episodes together and tried to make it seem like a coherent story. And then they did the Captain Harlock and the Thousand-Year Queen, which I really want to track that down, where it's supposedly it's a dub where they combined Captain Harlock and Queen Millennia. Yeah.
And they had the most disco-as-hell opening. Reach for the sky with me! Da, 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 da.
Oh, is some of it on YouTube? Or?
Oh, yeah, it's on YouTube.
Oh,
that intro. I love that intro to death. It's so great. Disco died 6 years before that came out.
You gotta play that on the opening or the ending song or something.
I'll find a way. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, I played it on our live-action Captain Harlock review at the intro to that. So we've used it once before.
Okay. Well, I'll have to track that down then.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, because apparently with that, it's the Ziv International dub or something weird. There's a guy on YouTube, Matt Murray from Corn Pone Flicks, did a video introspective of how Captain Harlock was released in the beginning. And it's all this, a company called Ziv International, and how they badly mixed and dubbed the episode.
I think that was after Harmony Gold. Ziv put it out on VHS, like a handful of random episodes, and it was like a gag dub.
Pretty much, yeah. I have to share the video or I'll put it in the notes. But it's really interesting to hear like Matt's take on that. There's like a dub joke in there where like apparently some guy, it's in that, cause actually I got Hulu service now. I'm dropping Netflix. And on Hulu, I've been watching the subtitle versions of Captain Harlock on there by, Toei Animation, cause they've got the watermark at the bottom. And, so there's like the episode that has like this famous line of where like, it's in the second episode, but like I'm not getting the English dub. I'm getting the Japanese one, so I'm reading it subtitled. And there's a line where Captain Harlock jumps down from like this top part to go to like this city councilman guy, and then the dub of the councilman guy is like, "How did you get here, Harlock?" And then Harlock's dub line is, "I jumped." It's so stupid.
I guess that's true.
Oh, it's so lame and goofy. But I've been watching Harlock, like, I can only do an episode a night, because, like, if I try to go for two, I start, like, falling asleep. I'm like, I'm getting into it, about a minute later, I just start dozing off and trancing in and out, and I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I've got to see that show sometime, and Galaxy Express 3-9. Yeah.
Well, they've got the first 9 episodes of Galaxy Express on Hulu right now, so, like, I'll get around to watching some of that, too. God, their anime selection is ginormous. That's why as soon as I saw everything, even the Criterion Collection, I'm like, I'm done with Netflix. I'll never go back. I'll pay the same just to get ads to have more content. Way more content.
Yeah, the ads are just... I mean, I wish it was only $7 with no ads, but you have to pay double to get no ads.
It's like $5 more to get no ads. And a friend of mine told me that he paid that and he still got ads, so it's just like, I might as well just keep what I got.
I tried free trial of both, because they offered both recently, yeah. And there were no ads with the no ads version, but it's still like, I don't know, I didn't end up keeping it, because I don't know why I didn't, but I guess my mom doesn't want to pay for two different services, and she says she prefers Netflix, but...
Yeah. I mean, Netflix, you get your, like, Netflix original series, like House of Cards and Daredevil and stuff like that, but I haven't watched any of it, so it doesn't apply to me.
Right.
I couldn't care less, to be honest.
Yeah, I've watched Daredevil and Jessica Jones on there, but, you know, I'm not a huge fan of either one. They're very loved on the internet, but... And I found them to be, like, boring and kind of over the top at times. But I guess that's a different story for a different podcast.
A story for closing remarks. Everything we've said in the past 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We've been going 26 minutes, and we've only talked about maybe the first 5 minutes of the Space Adventure Cobra movie.
Yeah, we haven't gotten very far.
This is our typical gig where we can't stay on topic for... crap.
Yeah. So what did we get to? Cobra meets the first one of the sisters?
Yeah, well, it's the fact that, like, the head starts attacking them because they got freed from the police station, and then, like, Cobra punches it like it's a tethering ball or a tether ball. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then, like, the guild is after her, so she's got a reason why the guild's after her, which relates to how important the sisters are. Which, the sisters' importance in this film... is reflected in the TV series, but much differently. Because I don't want to say too much, so I got to stop myself. But you'll find out once we watch and we'll review the TV show. But no, this is again, like with the visuals in this, I wrote down that it had a shaky cam. Like they're running down the hallway and the camera starts shaking, and I was like, oh, that's actually pretty interesting. And it was done actually well, better than how we use shaky cam today in film.
Yeah, because they can like control everything that happens, because it's, you know, it's being drawn instead of an actual camera being shaken around.
Yeah, this one, like, I think, like, you can, like, it's probably they just drew it like they're running down, but then they got the guy running the camera with the effects that's just kind of like, well, let's play with this. Oh, this is cool, let's just stick with that.
Yeah, it's more to, like, give a sense of motion, and it does that more than, like, in a Michael Bay movie where you would just get lost because it's too chaotic from the camera flying from one massive CGI robot to another or whatever, where it's like a total disaster.
Now he's got that new Benghazi movie, so it's from one CGI Muslim to another in cam mode.
They couldn't get any real Muslims, they had to do a CGI one. All the real Muslims have already fled the country for fear of Trump.
Yeah. Save it for closing remarks. We're not gonna go down that rabbit hole. Just walk around it, and we'll come. Just mark a stake, and we'll get back to that.
Uh-huh. I haven't actually seen the movie yet, though.
My brother's really interested in seeing it, so he'll probably tell me it's really good. But so, anyways, like Cobra. Okay,
I got it going again.
GarageBand, don't you quit on me.
It stopped because of the notification about what Josh was saying in the chat. Maybe I need to close
Chrome. He no longer has a roommate. Well, thanks, Josh, for killing the podcast.
Yeah.
He says, according to him, I snore way too loudly. Well, that's a good sign. I just know I'll never room with you, Josh. Anyway. I'm sorry for being a dick.
Daft said something like he thought the roommate was going to kill him in his sleep.
Alright. So, yeah, he tells Jane that he's actually the real Cobra, and then Jane apparently is all over Cobra and falls in love, which apparently the subplot to this is the fact that the Royale sisters or the Flower sisters, it's part of this galactic lineage thing that they have to find someone to fall in love with in order to be queen of some planet from 100-some years ago. And it was like the stipulations was the fact that all three must fall in love with the same man in order for one, so the three can become one to become queen, or the other two die off. And then one of them is still alive to become queen, which is, we're spoiling anything. We're talking about this movie, but like spoiler alert, that happens, and we'll explain why. But Jane falls head over heels for Cobra, obviously this is a guy's power fantasy because it's so James Bondish that he gets all the girls and everything, even to the
or
point
Golko
where
13.
Do what?
Or Golko 13. He's that sort of character where he's like a
Cobra doesn't kill the women off like Golko 13 does.
Well, true. But yeah. They all die anyway.
That's true. I had to think. I was like, yeah. No, but in this, like, even like the plot is written where, or the story is written where, like, when Jane dies later on, that her love somehow instant transmissions over to her sister Dominique in order for Dominique to have the same feelings for Cobra in order to keep the queen lineage thing alive. But the interesting part on this is the fact that Cobra goes to a spaceship. He goes to a spaceship, which they call it the Kamiya, but in the TV series it's known as the Turtle. And the Kamiya is actually so sleek looking. And then the turtle is just this blocky looking thing that, well, it's actually pretty cool because in the show it can be used as a snake and burrow in the ground, which you'll see those episodes eventually.
Uh-huh.
But like the turtle is just kind of like it becomes like different things and then just like a block in space. And then with this one, it's like the Kamiya is actually so sleek looking. And I was like, that's why it made me think that. Like, this came after the TV show. I'm like, oh, that's so cool looking. Like, you know, like, why would they go from the turtle to this? Because I saw this movie years ago before I saw the TV show, so I don't remember, like, things like that.
So how do you first see it? Did you have the VHS as well?
I downloaded it from Bucket BT or something like that, like, 5 years ago, I think, and I saw it on a whim, and I was like, oh, I'm really digging this movie. This is pretty cool.
Okay, so before Right Stuff had the show, had anyone ever translated it, like any fan groups?
For fan subbers, I'm more than positive. I'm sure they have.
Yeah, because a lot of these older shows tend to get like neglected, whereas there are 10 people doing the new trendy piece of shit anime that has already got an official license from Funimation.
Yeah, and then half the people out of the 10 are ripping it off official places to change one letter and put it in their own text stylus.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, it's just totally ours. Not naming on anyone. Horrible subs!
Or worse, you had commie subs where they get donations to pay for their minor changes or whatever that they're ripping off of these other groups.
What? We live in a terrible world.
Yes, but yeah. Fortunately, there's our sponsor, Right Stuff.
Yeah. The light of the hope that's been around for as long as, like, freaking Anime Ego has. Yeah, Right Stuff has been around, like, a long time.
Were they around before they had their website? Like, did they have a catalog or something in the old days?
Yeah, they had a catalog in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. And they had advertisements in magazines, which I'm sure I've got plenty of those. And I've scanned them and... Oh, crap, I'm getting a phone call. Are you serious? Hold on.
Okay, you want me to pause the podcast? I think my dog needs a walk, too.
Yeah, just pause it real quick.
All right, I'll be right back.
My nephew, like the Power Rangers, and I did this on his birthday where he had all his friends around. They were like, Green Ranger. I said, let me show you the real Sentai. I'm going to show you the episode where Green Ranger actually died. And they were sitting there looking. A couple kids start crying like, no, Green Ranger can't be daddy. And the parents were like, what are you showing our kids?
The Anime World Order Podcast.
Not suitable for children because the truth hurts.
Visit us online at www.animeworldorder.com.
Day. I watched Naruto on the TV. I'm an anime fan just like you.
Get out of here. Naruto is entry-level weeaboo crap. Smells as bad as your face. I'm Rio One.
If y'all think that Microsoft Mike was tripping, and you agree with Microsoft Cristal like the champagne, then y'all should listen to the Daily Anime Podcast. So head on over to dailyanimepodcast.com and give it a listen, because we might not actually be daily, but we're the realest podcast there is when it comes to this anime nonsense.
I decided I was going all out. I made a foot-long loaf of banana bread, and in that insane state of mind, cut it like you would a hoagie. I then scooped 4 large scoops of chocolate ice cream and threw them in the banana bread like you would meatballs. This needed sauce. Chocolate sauce. I drizzled it all over the bread and ice cream. I sliced strawberries and threw them on top. The darkness in my heart and mind were commanding me to add more to this demonic concoction. The whipped cream was added. Then at the risk of summoning the god of diabetes, I sprinkled a finer layer of sprinkles, toffee bits, and chocolate chip. I felt a twinge of fear. I bit into it. Holy crap, this was the most delicious dessert ever. Not sure if I was slightly confused by the alcohol or what, but I felt like I had created something good for once.
Dave and Joel's Fast Karate for the Gentleman, a podcast for people who don't like anime or their bodies. Find it online at daveandjoel.com.
I'm just starting to pick up.
Okay. No, I was making money. I sold 3. I went to a pawn shop recently and I got like 4 Criterion Blu-rays.
Uh-huh.
And I sold 1 already, but that somebody bought 3 of them off of me. So I made like probably 30, 40 bucks off of like 3 movies.
Oh,
which
cool.
which is way less than what I paid for them.
On what, eBay?
Like I spent less than what I got. Like I made money back, basically.
Mm-hmm. You sell them on eBay or?
Yeah, eBay. 5 Easy Pieces, The Honeymoon Killers, and The Black Stallion. And somebody brought my bought my Breaker Morant like a few days ago.
So where were we on Cobra?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
Crap. I think I was talking about the beginning of the movie or something.
The beginning?
Well, we were still in the beginning. Like, I mentioned about... Oh, I wanted to talk about Cobra... No, I mentioned Cobra Spaceship. That's right.
You said it was different in the show.
Yeah.
And then we talked about, they had different names, the sisters. Yeah. And, I think we talked about how the first one, met Cobra, and, I think that was, like, maybe that was as far as we got. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But, I mean, as soon as Cobra and Jane, meet up and get on the ship, they, Jane gets Cobra to go to, this place where her sister Catherine's being held. And it's like in some space prison, which apparently, if Cobra was ever sent to that space prison, nothing could hold him back because he jumped through like a bunch of like barbed wire windows. Like, it's the prison windows that like, you've got like the lines of metal in it to try to hold it, and he busts right through like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So if he was to try to be incarcerated in that prison, he wouldn't last long. There's no way you can contain him. Because he just punches through everything, and it's supposed to be, like, tempered and, like, bulletproof glass.
I don't think he's even, like, supposed to have any special powers or anything, is he? He's just really, like, defies the laws of physics with how cool he is.
Well, that and the psycho gun.
Yeah, well, there's the gun, yeah. But, like, he doesn't have, like, some special powerful arms or legs or whatever. He just kind of does whatever is useful for the plot, really.
Yeah. Well, actually, like, when they talk about him going, like, changing his identity, like they did in the show, or, like, in the movie, because they also explained in the show, too, it's the fact that, like, he has been, like, he does have, like, these, like, alterations to his body, and it does make him stronger and quicker and everything.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure about all that, like how he had changed his identity, because they seemed to think he was dead or something, or that, you know, that he, how did he become looking different like he did and everything.
Yeah.
I guess that'll be more developed in the show, because they have more time to explain his backstory.
That's true. I mean, pretty much, then what happens next is that, like, Cobra finds Catherine, but then, like, Cobra meets his arch nemesis by the name of Crystal Boy, which I keep wanting to call him David Bowie or something. I don't know why. But Crystal Boy is a guy that you would expect is made partially out of crystals, and that Cobra's psycho gun is ineffective because apparently light can travel through Crystal Boy, and Crystal Boy kicks the crap out of him. And I like how they try to put him in this cryogenic frozen thing, which is basically like a tall glass. Like a tall glass cup with a bunch of ice cubes in it, and they have Cobra's body in there, and they're like, he's cryogenically frozen. I'm like, what the? It's just kind of like this like haphazard way of like, our cryostasis machine is on the fritz right now. I mean, what if we just put him under like actual giant ice cubes and call it that? And somebody was just like, well, yeah, I guess so.
That could work.
Well, I kind of held him for a while until Catherine kills Jane, because Catherine is under the spell of Crystal Boy, and she apparently, when Jane transfers her love to her sister that we wind up meeting later, Dominique, that's when her love is able to keep Cobra alive, and he's able to walk underwater to retrieve Jane's body, and then they get rescued, and then Jane gets buried in space or sent off to space. And then that leads us to the part where they go to this ice planet to meet Dominique, and there's these, like, attack squadron gorillas, literally called gorillas, called the Snow Gorillas. And Cobra just kind of laughs at us, like, oh, this I gotta see. And it's basically women in, like, ski suits or, like, scuba gear that are on, like, those, like, not really a snowboard, but they're able to balance on, like, one of those giant skis. And they're able to just attack trains and, like, hold and get money from, like, the rich people on this ice planet. And then that's when Cobra meets Dominique, and Dominique, like, comes in on a flame horse and tells the Cobra that I have, like, accepted Jane's love for you, therefore I love you. And Cobra's just like, I think I love her. I don't really know. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I only knew her for 20 minutes or something. And
yeah, like, literally for a day he knew Jane, and he's just like, I don't know, I mean, we were just kind of talking, we were Netflix and chilling, and, you know, I don't know if I like her. because Cobra never really, like, says that he loves them. They're always like, we love you, Cobra, and Cobra's just like, I mean, I guess. If you say so, dear, why not? All right, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Booty is booty.
Yeah, Cobra has this attitude, like, well, at least they're hot.
Yeah. It's just, like, some bragging rights of, like, you know... You can go to the bar and be like, I've had three sisters go at me one time. That was awesome. And then they died.
Space princesses. Who wouldn't want to brag about a bunch of space princesses wanting him, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually pretty, I mean, like, in the guy macho exterior experience, that's like something you can brag at a bar about and get mad cred. That's some good bar stories right there.
Oh, I doubt anyone would believe him, though.
Well, they probably don't believe that Cobra's still alive and they're talking to him also, because Cobra's supposed to be dead.
Right.
And they would try to kill him for the million space money bounty that he has on his head. This also, like, also, I'm sure you noticed that the women, they don't really have nipples, they have, like, star nipples.
Yeah. Is that to get around some sort of censorship or something, or...
Dude, I have no idea, but there's even scenes where they're not even drawn with nipples.
Yeah.
I was like, either the censorship committee came down really hard on them, or their star nipple budget ran out, or the guy that's supposed to draw nipples was sick that day.
It's funny because they had nipples in, like, a lot of children's anime back then, like the Gundam, most of the UC shows have at least one... at least one scene where the women are just totally topless. And even as late as Victory, I think there were scenes with nipples, like the one with the bathtub with the Zanskar woman.
Well, okay, Victory came out in, like, the early 90s.
Right, and that was 10 years after this.
It was more common then. This came out in 82, and I guess other than kids' shows, like, if nipples are shown, they're not that detailed. There was, like, a pencil dot or something. And then... Yeah, but, like, I'm trying to think of movies. Like, the only thing I can think of around the time Cobra came out was in the third Gundam movie. I remember there was a scene where Mirai comes out of the bathtub and she's naked and they have nipples on her.
Yes, that's in the show as well. So they had that as early as, like, 79 on a, like, and Victory is early 90s. So there's, like, a period of at least 15 years or so where that was acceptable, but maybe it depends on the studio, like, some, or more conservative about not wanting to show that or whatever. I don't know, but
I don't know either. But I just know the fact that, like, Dominique has that, like, weird white, like, shag carpeting rug on her floor, and Cobra just can't walk on it. He has to, like, swim and, like, do, like, swimming strokes on it to get from one end of the room to the other. He just can't just walk across it. But they're able to have a conversation while he's going, whoa, like, oh. But eventually it gets into the whole exposition where they're trying to avoid the Space Guild, and they're like, I don't know, I'm sure if feminists saw this movie, they'd be pissed off, but maybe one of the things they wouldn't like is the fact that Jane holds on to Cobra so helplessly and doesn't use her legs. And Cobra has to be the one, like, her caretaker to, like, cart her around on the cliffs. But when she gets on solid land, she's able to walk.
Yeah, I'm sure that if Anita Sarkeesian saw this, she'd be like, oh, all those characters, the female characters only exist to be sex objects to Cobra and blah, blah, blah. But who really cares what they think about it?
Yeah,
I mean, it's an entertaining movie.
You're finally
getting
this now after 40 years, Anita? Gee, welcome to the club.
Well, she wouldn't have the taste to watch something like this anyway, would she? She doesn't actually play video games. I doubt she watches anime either.
Or she'll hire somebody to watch anime for her, and she's like, you better find everything that would piss off feminists.
We're fortunate that the social justice warriors have not really found out about anime yet, but there was the guy on MSNBC yesterday who said that the Trump supporters are all, what did he call them? Childless single men who masturbate to anime.
Yes!
And he also said that they're neo-Nazis as well. Very, very charitable guy.
Oh, that dude is... I I don't know if I'm going to vote. Maybe I can vote for that guy for president. I don't know.
That guy previously said that someone needs to put a bullet in Trump. I don't know how he keeps getting on TV when he says this kind of stuff, but he does.
Dude, it's television. You make threats on there, and they're like, oh, yeah, I can either agree or disagree with this guy. And there's no we're so afraid of people getting hurt by guns. You got a guy on there that's threatening to shoot a presidential candidate with a bullet.
Well, it is MSNBC. The only way that, you know, bullets are acceptable on there is if they're used to shoot Republicans.
Good point. I mean, pretty much the way this movie ends, I mean, I'm not getting into giant, well, I mean, like, we're getting into not entirely giant details, but, like, Cobra's able to find this, like, planet place that they're supposed to go to or where they're from. And they're also, like, they go into a backstory of how, like, they have, like, floating baby embryos in space. Which that was pretty interesting. But then Cobra goes to the planet where there's, like, the only woman left, which is Catherine at this point. Because Crystal Boy kills Dominique off. And that, it was in that, like, he basically threw his, like, rib spear at her. And it reminded me of Dub of the North Star when that second episode when, like, King's Men, the guy throws a javelin and then, like, Kenshiro's just like, there's no way he can make that. He can't make that shot. And then the guy gets stabbed, and then like Kenshiro's like, get the fuck out. I'll have to post that up. So people are gonna, it was on that effect. It was like he threw the spear, and I was like, he's not gonna make that shot. And then it goes right through Dominique. I was like, get the hell out. No way. But no, it's basically they go to the planet and Catherine is the one that's able to like destroy the planet but then save it at the same time because it's like they have to wait another 100 years for like another 3 sisters to come up and try to be queen or something.
Yeah, that part was weird. It's like it's not like a hereditary thing. They just like are, I guess they're like the Dalai Lama or something, where they are just like found by the people on the planet or something and considered to be like the divine ruler or something, yeah, something like, well, that.
Yeah, because it was like, but it was her choice to do that. And then she somehow chose that after Crystal Boy got stabbed with his own rib that Cobra kept, which is pretty cool. And then like after that, like after he got defeated, his soldiers were like, well, we're out of here. We don't have to serve this guy anymore. It's been fun. And they all just kind of leave, and then that's pretty much the end, and that's, like, the end of the movie.
So if she had, like, fallen in love with Cobra at the very end or something, then would the other two who had died have, like, come back to life and merged with her, and then everything would have been okay, or...
Well, there was no way that she could have fallen in love with Cobra because she was seduced or was, like, hypnotized. She had that gold band around her arm, which was under Crystal Boy's control. So, like, even if they could try to, like, transfer over their love feelings to Catherine, it wouldn't work, I don't think.
Okay, because I thought at the end she had lost the... At the end, I thought she had, like, no longer been under the control of Crystal Boy.
But she wasn't, but then, like, I think she realized she killed her sisters, and then, like, Dominique, when she died, there wasn't any cool scene of her love being transferred to Catherine. How would Catherine know? Because, like, she's already in love with Crystal Boy. Under, like, his mind control thing. So it wouldn't work anyways. So really, the only two options was to have, in love, both Jane Boy, Dominique, under, like, or mind control thing. So it wouldn't work anyways. So really, you wasn't hypnotized. Man, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know either. But anyway, it was an entertaining movie for that kind of thing, you know? It's, like, pretty, for a sci-fi movie, it did a good job of, like, having good visuals and had a plot that moved along at a good pace and some good, like, voice acting and music and everything. And I thought it was really good, and I'm looking forward to the series.
I believe Wendy Lee was the voice of Dominique. It sounded just like her. And then I think it's, I mean, they're all, like, streamlined actors or Robotech people. I think it's, like, Kerrigan Hahn who was the voice of Cobra. Like, it's that distinct voice that one of them has. You know, let's just look this up. All right, Space Adventure Cobra movie. Go to ANN, because that's where you get all this stuff. Yeah, the movie's also on Hulu, too.
Does Twitch store the previous broadcasts the way that the thing you used before it did?
It stores it for a temporary point unless I actually save it.
I see.
Okay, yeah, Wendy Lee was Dominique. I knew that. Let's see. It's got Dan Warren as Cobra. Yeah, he's done, like, he's got a very distinct voice. Like, he's Kuchiki from Bleach. Yeah, he's the voice of Jaggy in the Fist of the North Star movie.
By Byakuya Kuchiki from Bleach.
Yeah, and he's also Roy Foker in the Robotech TV series.
Yeah, he has a cool sounding voice, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, like, Kerrigan Hahn was some, it's like, it's one of those guys, like, you've heard his voice like a million times, and you're just like, okay, I know that voice. Who says that? Yeah, he was Colonel Killing in, HMS Team. Or not HMS Team, 0080. So this guy's a ton of stuff, but he was under the name of Jackson Daniels for 0080. Yeah.
Is this some union reason or something? Like how Steve Bloom used to have to use David Lucas?
Yeah, Steve Bloom had like four names going, like when he became a voice actor. That was, oh man, it's weird.
Yeah, I remember reading a thread on Toon Zone from like the early 2000s. I read it like years after it was posted, but what people were like, do you guys think that Steve Bloom is the same guy who's on, like, Samurai Champloo is on Cowboy Bebop, because there's different names on each, and I'm just not sure. And some people were like, yeah, it sounds exactly the same. And other people were like, but the name's different, so it can't be, right? And it's just like, oh, obviously, it's the same guy.
You idiots. Like, if he can only change his name, but not his voice. Like, if he's a voice actor, you know him by his voice.
Yeah.
No matter how he changes his names, when you hear that voice, you know exactly who it is.
Yeah, because he does the same voice in, like, almost all his roles. The only
There is no acting with him. He was the gay dude in Gurren Lagann. That's, like, the only distinction there.
There's one where he's on Digimon, where he does kind of, like, a goofy-sounding voice, too, in Season 3 called Guillemon. But that's, like, that and the gay guy. Those are the only two times he sounds at all different. The Spike Spiegel, Roger Smith, Mugen, all those voices, they sound exactly the same.
Yeah. Well, Char Aznable in the Gundam dub movies.
Oh, I have to hear that. I still haven't watched those.
Oh, man. I bought them not too long ago because I bought the dubs so that my girlfriend can watch them so she doesn't feel like she's got to read subtitles and fall asleep.
Right.
Because that's what happened in the first movie. And granted, yes, those Gundam movies are pretty slow at times. But I'm like, I'm trying to like convert her to Gundam fandom in some form or fashion. And yeah.
Get right stuff to send free Gundam stuff to your girlfriend.
Or I could just like give her the TV. Well, she doesn't have a Blu-ray player, but if I get it on DVD, she can borrow it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But she comes over our house and watches stuff with me. So that's how, like, she's over here, so we'll watch, like, 8th MS Team, like, two or three episodes at a time per week. Mm. So we got through that. And then I was like, okay, we're pretty much done with Universal Century stuff. I'm not going to make her watch Gundam Igloo. She doesn't need to watch that.
What about, Unicorn?
I'd have to own Unicorn, and I mean, unless I get a dub version of it online. And
well, then Viku selling it?
Yeah, he is, but it's not the entire. He's got the first four, though.
Oh, because he like started hitting anime before it finished or something.
That's the way I take it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if we're getting Mobile Suit Gundam sets from Ride Stuff, I don't really need to buy his old Bandai set. If it's the same exact release. Because apparently Zeta Gundam is the way it's coming out. It's the same release we got a decade ago.
Right, because they still can't get the rights to that.
To the opening songs.
Yeah, because of Neil Sedaka.
Yeah.
Is he like alive still, or is his estate just being an ass, or what's the deal?
I think he's still alive.
Okay. Because sometimes the estate is just as much of a dick about the rights as like the person was when they were alive.
Yeah, it's music rights are just a whole other level. Like, yeah,
yeah.
Whatever happened to the Crunchyroll people? Or Oxford Road or whatever that were like.
Oh, dude, I completely forgot about them.
Because like we were gonna like talk to them, and then they were like, the person we were gonna talk to was sick or something, and then they like never got back to us.
Yeah, no, that was over the summer. I do remember that.
Yeah.
I completely forgot until you just told me. And it was some girl, and like we could never organize the time. I remember signing up. I think they wanted me to sign up for something. And then I was like, fine, I did it. It's in the system. And we never talked to them. After I did that, they never responded to me. And I don't even know what it was. I completely forgot.
They wanted to do like we had like a hard time getting them to agree to call us on Skype. They were like, we only do Google Hangout and phone call conferences or something. And like, we didn't like that. And then we never like ended up talking to them, or at least I didn't.
I never did either.
Yeah.
No, they called me a couple of times.
Oh, really?
And it was just like, please sign up for a website. And I was like, fine, I'll do it. And then I completely forgot.
Signed up for a Crunchyroll account or for Oxford Road something or other?
It was Oxford Road, yeah. Shoot, dude. Hmm. I don't even remember what that was for.
Well, they said they were going to set us up with becoming partners with Crunchyroll, but I don't think it ever made it that far. Like, they never contacted Crunchyroll. They just kept talking to us about... And then nothing happened out of it.
Yeah. Dude, I don't freaking care. Like, I really don't care. I mean, because, that happened, and then eventually, like, that's when Skybound Games got a hold of us. And to me, that was, like, that's more beneficial. And then you talk to them, and like, yeah, sure, we'll send you stuff, and if you guys can review it or whatever. That's great! And then I asked them again, I'm going to a con. Yeah, we'll send you some stuff. That's great!
Yeah, they were more easy to, like, communicate with. They didn't have as many problems.
Yeah. And then, like, when I reach out to Thane at Write Stuff, like, he's just like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll give you a tracking number when we send that out, when I get a hold of it. So I'm like, that's great. I've had to be the one the past couple of times to really respond to him. But whenever I respond, he responds back at least, like, pretty quickly. And just says, yeah, we'll take care of that, and... You know, I'll let you know once we have everything. Something about when I asked about the order being placed, he just says, "Yeah, I get the order placed and the package is shipped out. Our shipping department will give me a tracking number and I can pass it along to you." So, I mean, like, at least he contacts me and like lets me know about stuff. Yeah, I don't. It's so funny you brought up Oxford Road. I was just like, who the heck? Oh. Now I remember. God, that was a waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something about Crunch. I completely forgot. I think we're in closing remark territory now.
Well, we probably have to edit everything from when you started talking about Otaku no Video to this point out, because it's all like...
Yeah, or
stuff
anime
that we shouldn't really
stuff.
Disclose.
Yeah. I mean, like, after whatever I said about that, like, I can leave in, like, whatever you brought in about Oxford Road, because, like, nothing ever came of that, so who cares?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Like, the only thing I really wanted to mention was... Okay, a couple of things. So, on the 18th of January, because I'm not sure when this is going to come out, I turned 30 years old. And on my 30th birthday, I had my parents and my girlfriend over, my brother, and I made them watch Logan's Run. After Logan's Run ended, my girlfriend had to leave because she works third shift at a company called Electrolux. She makes like refrigerator appliances or whatever she does there. Like, she works on an assembly line, so she had to take off early. So when she comes over here, like sometime this weekend, I'll make her finish the rest of that. But she just made fun of how lame Logan's Run was. And then after the movie ended, my mom was like, I think my brother was like, okay, so how would you rate this movie? And my mom's like, a 0 out of 10. And then my dad was like, 2 out of 10. And my brother was a 4 out of 10.
Uh-huh. What would you give it?
Do what?
What would you give it? What number?
I like Logan's Run, man. That's why I picked it. So like, it's like a 6 or a 7 for me.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean,
that's fair.
I think a lot of people don't like that kind of movie because the special effects are so dated. But it's got some entertaining old qualities to it.
I mean, you know, the movie came out 40 years ago. Like, it came out in 76.
Right.
And, I mean, yeah, they made some really good movies in the 70s, too. Like, not all of them are crap. But, I mean, Logan's Run is just, like, it's just a fun movie. And then, like, it got to the point, like, my brother laughed when it got to the point of the robot, when the robot's like, and fish, and plankton, and I had to freeze them all. And then, like, you must be frozen. And he just pulls out this, like, this drill and this, like, freezing gun out of nowhere. My brother's like, where did that come from?
Oh, yeah. The robot, I can't remember that. It's sort of like if you're watching the old Battlestar Galactica or the original Star Wars trilogy where this really dated special effects, but that's kind of entertaining part about it is seeing the practical special effects they used to use back in the day.
Yeah. Well, Star Wars looks really good for its time. It does. Like, it holds up pretty well. I don't know about Battlestar Galactica, but then again, my mom loved Battlestar Galactica growing up. So I don't know how she can sit there and criticize Logan's Run when it's made about the same time as Battlestar Galactica.
Actually, the special effects—I've only seen the movie, the first movie, which is like the pilot or whatever.
Okay.
And but the special effects by that—they literally reuse some of the props from the first Star Wars movie because they have the same prop guy who like left Lucasfilms and took some of the props with him. So it's very similar to the original trilogy in terms of quality. And Logan's Run, you know, maybe it's not quite as good as that or Star Wars, but it's still, like, it's got, like, an entertaining 70s kind of charm to it in the special effects department.
Yeah.
Some of the costumes. And it's got, like, a unique premise, too. The thing about everyone who becomes 30 to be terminated by the lights or whatever it was.
Yeah, or the carousel, and I must be reborn or renewed.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually pretty interesting because, like, the purpose – I mean, like, my parents now want to make Logan's Run jokes when I'm in the room.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, Justin, you came home. We thought you were a runner today, or, like, we thought you were going to run away.
Oh.
And then, like, we'd say, like, our cat is the Sandman or something. And to me, it's like if they can make jokes out of Logan's Run and, like, at least acknowledge that its existence – even if they make fun of it, like, it's still, there's some merit to it.
At least they know about it. That's
important to me. Do what?
At least they know about it, huh?
Yeah, that's like the purpose of me showing it to them. It was like, well, at least you guys know about this movie. And despite your opinions.
I need to see the TV series. I don't think it lasted very long. It was just one season. But
yeah, it came out a year after the movie came out.
Yeah, that could be an interesting thing to see at some point. Yeah. I know there's like a lot of, sci-fi movies back then that got turned into shows that I'd like to check out. Like there's a Planet of the Apes show. There's like a cartoon and a live action one. And Starman, the John Carpenter movie, they made a TV series out of that, even though it's got different actors. So those are things I'd like to check out at some point. And plus I need to see the series of Battlestar Galactica 2. I only saw the movie, but it's, like, really amusing. It's just such a weird thing. It's such a, like, I don't know. Maybe the new one is supposed to be, like, actually good, but the old one is, like, so bizarre and cheesy, and but it's really entertaining. I guess that's how sci-fi movies were made back then. Everything had to be a sort of a Cold War allegory, you know. The enemy is obviously like the Soviet Union in it. And it's also written by a Mormon, so it has like these strange theological implications in it as well.
All gay people are Cylons.
Well, I think it's more so that there's like a planet in it called, I think there's a planet called Kolob or something, like the planet where God lives in the Book of Mormon or whatever. And it's just weird stuff.
but go see the temple of Smith Joseph.
and there's also all those sort of like, the sort of things that were popular in the 80s and 70s of sci-fi, like Burbles or Ewoks or that sort of thing. There's all sorts of weird little furry creatures like that in it that have, like, sort of amusing way they move. Like, I guess they're animatronic or stop motion or something. But it's interesting to see that kind of special effect compared with now it would just be like a computer-generated thing and it would look too much like a real dog or whatever to really be as amusing as it is in a little suit or whatever.
The other thing I was going to mention for closing remarks is the fact we've had, as to my knowledge, four main celebrities that have died. Pretty much most of them are musical artists. So we've got the lead singer of Motorhead who died. Then it was David Bowie. Then it was Alan Rickman, two in the same week. And then on my birthday, Glenn Frey died.
Hold on, who was it from Motorhead? Is it Lemmy or...
Yeah, Lemmy. Yeah, he's the one who passed away. But that was like a week, maybe a few days before David Bowie did.
I missed that. That's unfortunate that that happened.
My brother was like really like... It was like a week or so before my brother like made a big deal about it.
Oh. Well, there have been a lot of people dying lately.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, you know, David Bowie, and it was just, and then like within like that week, then Alan Rickman died.
He's in Die Hard, the first one, right? And
Hans Gruber. Hans!
Yeah, and Snape in Harry Potter.
Which what? I have not finished any or all of those movies yet. I've only watched the first three.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen all of them. But what else is he in besides Harry Potter and Die Hard?
I don't know.
Oh, I think he's in, Sweeney Todd, the Tim Burton movie?
See, I haven't seen Sweeney Todd either. I think he is in that also.
Yeah, I remember him being in that. It was like a terrible movie, though. It was popular, but the musical aspects were just like, oh.
All right. Well, the most recent thing was there's a theatrical release with him coming out, Alice Through the Looking Glass. And he's supposed to be Absalom the Caterpillar. It comes out in May this year.
Is that the sequel to the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland?
Let's see.
Maybe he was in the first one, too.
Yes, that is the sequel to the 2010 Alice in Wonderland Tim Burton movie.
That's bizarre that they made another one.
Yeah, I think I heard that there was a sequel to that. And then he's also Lieutenant General Frank Brinson in this movie called Eye in the Sky.
Oh.
And that's supposed to be coming out in April. So, like, he's got two movies coming out, like, a month apart.
All right.
Yeah, I think it was after, like, Harry Potter. He just, like, kind of didn't really do too much. Because, like, I'm just looking on this list in the past, like, decade, and it's just mostly Harry Potter. He was in an episode of King of the Hill where he was, like, King Philip. And there was an episode where, like, Hank has to, like, get propane at this Renaissance fair. and he's basically there. He runs the place and treats all the women terribly, or like Alan Rickman did, because he's King Philip. And then it's basically like a business deal to try to sell propane to him so they can get – so Mr. Strickland can get his business. And he was also the alien guy, Dr. Lazarus, in Galaxy Quest. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. That's about it. Oh, I did find a copy of Labyrinth on VHS.
Oh, where'd you find it?
I found it at a thrift store in my town, finally. I was trying to find it on DVD, but I wound up like the VHS copy is in pretty good shape. So I'll definitely get to check out that for David Bowie. And then in terms of...
No, I've got it going again.
Okay, yeah, I got Labyrinth at a secondhand store. And I just mentioned that Alan Rickman was in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves as the Sheriff of Nottingham. That was the Kevin Costner movie.
Is that the one by Mel Brooks, or is that a different...
No, that's Men in Tights. That's the Mel Brooks one. That's the one I have a lot more love than any other Robin Hood movies.
I don't know if I've seen any of them. Is there like an animated one? Maybe I saw that as a kid.
They did make an animated one like in the 60s. I saw that as a kid too.
Yeah, that's the only one I've seen, I think.
Okay. It's got Christian Slater as Will Scarlet. Back when Christian Slater did a lot of acting.
Yeah.
And then Glenn Frey was the guitarist for the Eagles, and he wound up being like part of Miami Vice and doing his own music. He sung "The Heat Is On." That's what he's most famous for. But yeah, I haven't really heard of any other deaths lately. So, well, that's pretty much, RIP all those guys.
Those four are enough for the time being. I'm sure more people will die eventually.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't recorded since the beginning of, before the beginning of this year. It's when we did our Star Wars review. And that was like a few days before New Year. So like we're, you know, today is the 21st of January. And this is our actual first recording of the new year.
So for my closing remark, I'll read a quote from Motivation Dale. El Chapo, huh? Well, if you ask me, as a result of a recent state of affairs, it's as if the name of the gentleman is instead El Captured. Did you hear that El Chapo had one of the guns that Obama, as part of the Fast and Furious thing, gave to the Mexican drug cartels?
Wait, you're talking about the Fast and Furious thing from the ATF where they, like, gave guns to some people and then they want to be in the hands of the... You're talking about that plan?
Yeah, because they had this idiotic plan that they were going to give a bunch of guns to this drug cartels in Mexico, and then they, like, got in... You know, they weren't able to track them like they were planning to. And then the Mexicans, they, like, shot some Border Patrol agents here in Arizona and murdered them with it. And then, like, some of them found their way into the hands, like, all the way up to El Chapo, and they found one on, like, his getaway helicopter or something just recently that they tracked back to having come from Obama. So this is just, like, yet more proof of what a disaster that program was. I don't know how they ever proved something so stupid to begin with as giving guns to the drug cartels.
I thought it was, like, I thought he had, like, a prop gun from the Fast and Furious movies. And then I was like, wait a sec. Well, because that fifth movie was takes place with them crossing over the Mexican border underground. I think they're all crappy, but I like Tokyo Drift. But no, that was the fourth movie, the one I'm talking about. That's what I thought it was related to.
So I also have some Christian news. There's this guy called Jeff Ouzos, who I don't know what the hell this thing is about, but there's some guy called Jeff Ouzos who's supposedly selling fake Sonichu merchandise. And
I thought you were going to talk about the guy who's going around destroying things in Chris's honor and like holding up signs.
Okay.
Because I want to say something about that guy, too.
Yeah, I'll talk about him next. But he's also in the news on the quickie. But they have this Ouzos guy who's been impersonating Chris and imitating everything he does. So he's, like, changed his gender and started calling himself Francine. And after Chris has been doing planning a lesbian sleepover party... This Ouzos guy followed suit, and then I guess all of Chris's guests like canceled on him and went over to Ouzos' house instead. So Chris was like, "Okay, fine, this guy is a stud or whatever. Just go see him instead." And apparently Ouzos made him say this, and he's now like explained that Ouzos was doing this and saying he wouldn't give him royalties if he didn't promote his party, and then somehow Ouzos has now ended up in jail, according to Chris. Although he hasn't said why, but he says that something like his shop on Zazzle.com has been unable to fulfill orders from a very long time, so I guess he's violated some contracts and took people's money without giving them the Sonichu merchandise, because he never actually made any. He was just doing it to troll Chris, but I guess some idiots actually bought the stuff or something and then didn't get their product. Yeah. But anyway, now he is going to jail, and I hope Chris will join him soon. and along with Chris, this idiot who's been going around I don't know, he was in North Carolina, you said, right? And is destroying Sonichu merchandise in stores, and or Sonic merchandise, rather.
Yeah,
smashing off arms and stuff, yelling, "Sonic's arms are not blue," and he's been protesting in front of stores saying, "Chris Chan's treatment, bloody unfair,"
boycott GameSpot, boycott GameStop, and okay. boycott whatever was the other place, Lulu's, I think.
Yeah. All right. This is why I'm like sort of more curious about this guy than Chris Chan, because this guy protested at a Lulu's in Raleigh, North Carolina. The reason why this interests me so much is the fact that I am originally from Raleigh, and I know exactly where he's at, because the Lulu's that he's protesting in front of is a brand new building right near NC State campus on Hillsborough Street, which originally used to be this old building that Capital Comics used to be at that I used to frequent to years ago. Before, like that building that's been there that he protested in front of is about maybe a year and a half old. Yeah, because they had two locations for Capital Comics, and they wind up moving out of that location, which was like a white, rundown, garbage building, and because it's been there for like many, many years, and so they decided to move all their inventory or whatever they had over to like the Capital Comics. I think it's on Glenwood Avenue. I've never been over there, but I know there's one there. And that's why it was like, once I realized where this guy was at, like, I just had this, like, fixation of, like, okay, hopefully he's doing everything in North Carolina, because then I can figure out exactly where he's at. So
the joke with the Lulu thing was that I think Chris had been publishing his comic books through a web service called Lulu that you can publish stuff for and ship off to people. So he was doing Sun Issue that way, but then they terminated him because he was doing fan fiction, they determined, of Sonic. And this guy is protesting in front of Lulu's, which is something like entirely different. It's a diner or something, right?
I guess it's like a clothing or like a distribution place. Because I looked it up online, and I saw like where the – like because it was dark, but I could tell the road structure.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, like I figured out exactly like where this guy filmed this at. And then I saw like where, and I knew where the building was, and I was like, that's exactly where the old Capital Comics used to be. And and that's when I told the story about Capital Comics in the chat, when basically my brother broke the bathroom in there one time.
Oh, right.
taking a dump. He can better explain this, but, I get to sum it up. Like basically I was in there one time browsing through like the Viz comic book stuff, because this place was like everything crammed together and like, an 8x8 square foot area, because that's just how comic book, that's a genuine comic book shop, I guess. And I'm browsing through stuff, so my brother had to go use the bathroom, and there's this guy that worked there. I don't know who this guy is, but he was like half bald. He kind of reminded me of Joe from the Eltingville Club pilot. And that's why my brother kind of dubbed that place the Eltingville, or Joe's Comics, or the Eltingville Club, or the Eltingville comic book place after that incident. So what happened was, it's like he went in there to take a dump, and the building is so old that the fact that he said that there was a Superman poster on the wall, but I think it was on the wall facing outside or something, because then out of Superman's eyes were like somebody poked holes in them, so light was coming in, so like it just started creeping my brother out. And he's told this so many different ways, but the way I remember is he tried taking the poster down, and apparently, like, he – because, like, in order for the poster not to – the Superman poster not to creep him out. And apparently he tried flushing the toilet, and it got clogged up really bad. And I don't know what happened, but he's – like, it started overfilling, so he started throwing paper towels and whatever he found in there on the floor. Or he tried – like, there wasn't any toilet paper, and I think he tried using, like, paper towels. Oh, did it crash?
Did he use the poster to try to wipe it up?
That would have been his next step, I know. No, so anyways, like, the toilet got clogged up or stopped working or whatever. And then, like, he was like, you know, I don't know what happened, but he comes out of there and he gets my attention. And he's just like, dude, we gotta go right now. And I'm like, dude. And I was like, dude, I'm still browsing. Like, dude, we gotta go. And I was like, dang it, Dana, what'd you do now? What'd you do this time? He's like, dude, we gotta go right now. And then he tried doing the honest thing and telling the guy that worked there. And then the guy just like, it happens all the time. I'll take care of it. And then he thought that was the end of it. So the next time we went in there a couple of weeks later, the guy was nice to me, but then he gave my brother like the nastiest look ever.
He
broke the toilet.
Yeah.
So then since then, my brother never bothered to go in there.
Oh. So is it still there, or has it been taken by Lulu's?
Yeah, well, it got, like, it was about a year or two ago, because I always check out Hillsborough Street whenever I go into town for an amazement. And they cleared it off and bulldozed it 1 year. And that's when I told my brother, like, hey, dude, Capital Comics Eltingville Club place, like, got torn down. And then, like, the next year I went there, that's when they were building a brand new building. It's like a process the past 2 or 3 years they've been doing this. So now it's a brand new building. I think it's just, like, more land to expand for NC State because, like, Capital Comics was this area that was, like, the last part of this rickety old, like, building that was still existed there. So, like, once they, like, basically, like, had to move their business out of there because the economy is what they blamed it on, when I read the news report when my friend told me this, because he used to get, like, Spider-Man comic book subscriptions there when he went to NC State, since he lived, like, less than a mile away and used to walk there. And so I guess, like, once Capital moved out, like, NC State just probably had their eye on the property, and then, like, there was nobody there to hold it, so they just wound up developing something else there. Or whoever might own the property, I'm pretty sure it's NC State, since the campus is right there. But there's, like, another comic book shop, like, down the road on Hillsborough, which is called Foundation's Edge, and they're still in business. I go up there once a year. As far as I know, they're still in business. So, but then, like, with this guy's attacks on, his latest video was him going into a comic book store and smashing a Sonic character and breaking the arms off with a hammer. And there was only, like, two guys in there in that video. But, like, I wanted to figure out exactly where this place is. And, like, based on how this guy parked his car and what shopping center he's at, I'm not sure if he's still in Raleigh or not. Because I was looking for landmarks and everything. Like, because when he ran out, there was a pizza place there, so I assumed it was a Papa John's. But the video is so blurry that you can't tell. So I was, like, looking for, like, based on locations of where this might be. And there's, like, a couple places I might think it might be at, but, like, it's nothing concrete and solid. So I don't know, like, because that can pinpoint where this guy's operating at, and maybe the trolls on the Quickie can, like, stop this guy.
Well, do you see the sign of, like, where it is?
Because he walked into the comic book shop in the latest video, but there wasn't a sign of what place it was. There wasn't a name there. So that doesn't really help me.
There's a sort of what might be called a false flag theory, about, you know, like that the owner of the store was in on it and used the attack for publicity or something, or was just playing an inside joke with the guy in order to troll Chris Chan or something.
If you say it's publicity, that's bad because you don't even know what store it is, and it's not even written on the freaking description in YouTube. So right. How would you know you would go to a comic book store that somebody smashed a Sonic the Hedgehog character at if there's no name or no location to find it?
Yeah, that's the problem with that theory, is that there's no sign, so no one would know how to find it or anything, yeah. So it wouldn't actually help them with publicity.
Exactly.
But, but it's possible that they were trying that anyway, and they're just totally incompetent. Because these guys seem pretty autistic, if you ask me.
Well, yeah.
I mean, do you see all those stupid... he had, like, a bunch of text that he would overlay on the video every now and then. And it was, like, a bunch of, like, emo poetry or something. Like, it was really dumb.
Anti-government, anti-authority, anarchist stuff. Like, Viva Vendetta crap. Stuff like that. Like, I didn't even read it. Because it was up there for 2 seconds.
I read the first part of it. But, like, it was on there for, like, increasingly little amounts of time, so yeah. You couldn't read the whole thing.
Well, I think that's all I've got to say, and I was about to go eat dinner in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's pretty much it, my closing remarks to the stuff I said.
Yeah, I think we're done here. Look forward to our next episode, which is probably going to be the series of Cobra. Or else the Blu-rays of Mobile Suit Gundam.
Okay. Or we need to do that origin story.
Podcast.
Of course. I'm currently editing Digimon Adventure Tri right now.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh crap, it's been about 2 weeks. I need to kind of work on that. So that's going to be released before this comes out.
Are you going to remove the part with TY and Viku, or are you leaving that as bonus?
I might just use that in, like, as a bonus material for an episode if I hash one together just to make up stuff one time. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But you guys had a pretty good discussion about stuff there.
Yeah, even though he's totally shit-faced, he did better than what we thought he would.
And he had such an accent. It was so funny. I was at work listening to it. He's like, God, I'm drunk as fuck.
Yeah.
I was just cracking up. I'm like, dude, you are hillbilly as you can possibly be. I can't even talk now.
The first time we told him that, he got really upset at us, like he didn't realize it.
Yeah, this is him and Viku, like, crapping on, like, Star Wars movies. They're like, yeah, Return of the Jedi is the worst movie ever made. Because I'm Viku. Because he's like, oh, it's just terrible. Like, nothing happens in the movie. And I'm like, it's not a bad movie. There's not a bad Star Wars movie, but there's weak Star Wars movies.
He hates it because there's the Ewoks in it. That's the standard reason for hating it. Because people can't admit to liking a movie where there's some little furry creatures in it. They make them seem childish.
Yeah. Alright. Well, I'm gonna head out. This has been a fun recording, and I'll put this out whenever. So everybody, thanks for listening to our closing remarks. So, till next time.